Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Evert. We are the Unhallowed Reviewers, and it is This Week in Horror. And for this week, we've got a few things to talk about. I am going to throw a curveball at Evert. And
oh God, is this not on the list?
Oh, it's sort of on the list, but I'm just like totally adding something to this sort of.
List is there, so you can add it beforehand. I feel
what?
So
no, no. I mean, like, it's like, you know, we got like our list of things to talk about, but I'm gonna like throw a little curveball into it by trying to throw segment ideas to the wall and see what sticks.
Sure, go for it.
And I'm going to start with the first segment that we're going to take a shot at here, which is bringing a true story to the podcast once a week. Just one little thing, even if we don't talk about it a lot, just one little true story. And this is the little intro. We're going to do a little intro for the true story of the week.
Are you going to, like, put an intro in here for
us? No, I'm doing it right now. We're poor and we can't afford real music. So, we've got our first true horror story of the week. So, I don't
remember. That was a very long intro.
It was really good, I thought. So, I don't remember when this was, but it wasn't that long ago. But it is the story. And you guys may have heard all this stuff before, but I've been listening to some true crime stuff, and I thought this one was particularly interesting. It's about the Jameson family of Oklahoma mysteriously...
Oklahoma, a terrible place.
It's not the best. It's got all that red mud, and it gets on everything.
It's not blood.
It's not blood, but it is in this case. So,
oh, shit.
I know, right? So, like... The story is that there was this family that was kind of... It's a husband, wife, and child. I believe a daughter. They were kind of a, like, fairly secluded family that didn't, like, I don't know, interact with people a lot. They liked to keep themselves, but they were also very nice people. People in general found them to be very pleasant to be around, and they were very friendly to people. So they weren't, like... hermits that, like, you know, threw cats at people if they, like, came up to their front door or something. But they also probably
thing.
Weren't... Oh, that's totally a thing.
In Oklahoma?
What? Everywhere.
Oh,
everywhere, man. That happened to me last week.
That
happened to me last week. But they, like... I don't know. They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed either, though. But either way...
The Jameson family wasn't?
Yes. Yeah, the Jameson family. Okay. Yeah, we're living in, like, kind of a fairly secluded house to begin with, I'm pretty sure. It was kind of that way, and they wanted to seclude themselves even further. So they were talking about buying this, like, 40-acre lot in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, and...
In the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma?
It's yes.
Like another dimension.
It is. It's kind of like multiplying or dividing by zero, whatever.
I'm sorry, I keep riffing on Oklahoma. I'll let you finish your story.
It's all right. Poor Oklahoma, man. Like, it's already Oklahoma. You don't have to beat it into the ground.
Sick burn.
So like, they decided to, like, you know, out of the blue, it appears in the middle of the night. Not in the middle of the night. I don't know. I think it was something like that. Early in the morning, middle of the night. They had, like, kind of motion sensor cameras out in front of their house, and the motion sensor cameras, which were reviewed after their disappearance, showed them walking in and out of the house back and forth from their truck, and half the time they weren't even carrying anything. They just kept walking back and forth, like, nobody could really figure out what they were doing. It never showed that they ever interacted with each other, the wife and the husband. They just kept each other, whatever. A lot of people said that the body language seemed off as they were doing this. But eventually, they got to the truck, and that was the last that they were seen from anybody. So a couple of weeks or days after they disappeared, people started looking for them. They found their truck. Their truck had all of their personal items, wallets, purses, etc., and even had the family dog, malnourished, that had been living off its own feces in order to survive.
Wow.
In the truck.
That's a wilderness.
Oh, right. So, the for those that care...
No, wait, I have a better one. That's recycling.
It is recycling. It was. The dog was very, like, you know, conscientious of the Earth's health.
I'm being insensitive.
So, the family disappeared. Nobody could find them. I'm sorry, I forgot the other very key element of this. They had $32,000 in cash in the truck that was just left there. Forgot about...
Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot of money.
So... They weren't. It was suspected that it wasn't unusual for that family to carry around a lot of cash, especially if they were looking to buy that lot of land. That's kind of their MO. They won't like go to a like bank and handle it that way. Like they would just have the cash. So they disappeared. Couple of weeks, months. I think it was a few months later. Two hunters.
After the car was.
Yes,
found.
After the truck was found. A couple of hunters find. The bodies of the three people in the middle of the woods, and it was a couple.
Still
yes, I believe it was about 3 miles from the truck where the truck was found. They were laying down, face down in the dirt, right next to each other. There was no sign of wounds or gunshots or anything, no broken bones. There was no cause of death that anybody could identify. They were just dead. They had died, but they were too decomposed. So, I mean, like, if it was possible, if they'd been found earlier, they could have determined the cause of death, but there was no immediate one. Like, it seemed almost kind of like the way that they were laying down, that it was kind of like an execution-style thing, but there were no gun wounds, there were no knife wounds, there was nothing to show that they had been received any kind of trauma to that extent. And so the part that's super confusing is, like, there's really not any good explanation for how or why that they could determine. The, like, for example, like, a lot of people were like, well, it had to have been, like, a murder-suicide situation. But there's no evidence, like, the last person that kills themselves, like, there has to be a last person, and they would leave evidence behind of how they did it. And so there was no gun, there was no... like, vial of anything. There was nothing that would show that that was the case, that that's what they did. It doesn't make any sense why they, even if that was the case, why they would just suddenly abandon the vehicle and leave the dog in there. It doesn't make any sense why, if somebody led them away from the truck to execute them somewhere, why they wouldn't go back to the truck and get the money, why they wouldn't take any of their valuables. They didn't have anybody that necessarily had anything against them.
So it's just like a big mystery, and like everyone's speculating on like what happened, and
crazy
no one really
speculation.
Knows.
And just for the fun little supernatural tinge to it, the area was known for a high level amount of cults,
alien. Oh,
and
man.
Also they had reported to a priest recently before this event, like within a few days before this event, complaining of.
Yeah, I was just reading something that said that like they had visited the priest, but someone also said that they, like, one of their friends said they were never involved in any kind of drugs or witchcraft or anything.
Correct,
like
yeah, they never really did anything like that, like, even though they were secluded, like, it didn't seem like a drug cartel situation thing made any sense. They weren't personally into any of that cult stuff, but they did complain to a priest about having experienced spirits at their house. And which is the part where the kind of like sharpest tool in the shed thing kind of comes up, because apparently, according to rumors, the husband had asked the priest if there was any kind of special bullet he could buy to kill the spirits, which I thought was kind of silly. But
well, yeah, I mean, a holy bullet will still
a holy bullet.
Because
I really like that. I've never heard that term before. I like that.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say
no,
about that?
No.
Because we just spent third of our podcast.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to, like, you know, tear it too much, but we can end that segment.
You know,
true
apologize.
Horror segment.
Yeah.
Over. Da-ba-da-da-da-ba-da-da.
There you go. There's real things out there that are horrible. There's also a decent amount of, like, disappointment out there with movies and stuff lately. But before we talk about that, let's review some things we didn't get to cover last week, which were... Child's Play trailer starring Mark Hamill came out, and like the following controversy of how Chucky looks.
Yes.
Any
comments
on that?
Very much so. I thought everything about that trailer looked super interesting and promising. I think we both agreed that we thought that the technological angle of it, where they're treating it like an Alexa or a Siri inside of Chucky, as like a really interesting take on it and a fun little twist to add to the concept. So you're able to reboot mm-hmm. him, and actually you can keep the character somewhat the same but add a new angle to it. And I think we both appreciated that.
And a ton of animatronics apparently being used in the movie. It's like 90%.
Yeah, it looks like they're sticking with that. Even from the trailer, you can tell that they're making him waddle around, which is great.
So even if it looks a little weird, it's pretty cool that they're sticking with that. And it's supposed to be, like, the really gory. Like, it's supposed to be, like, it earned its rated R rating. So, I'm excited.
It could be a lot of fun. Mark Hamill doing the voice is perfect. We both agree that that was a great choice. I don't know if we disagree here, though. I just think that he looks like an anime character, and it doesn't look scary at all to me. And that bothers me a little bit.
Well, yeah, right now, because we've only seen, like, one or two shots of his face. But I'm willing to wait it out and not kind of make... Just wait it out. You know, it's like there'll be
that's fair. I'm not. It's definitely not something I'm willing to like commit to right now. But at first glance, I was like, I could do without the look. But everything else, I think, looks awesome.
Yeah. So, in other news, in the train of Stephen King, Salem's Lot's getting a remake, and apparently James Wan is directing it. And I think that's pretty cool. I think that combination there can be really interesting. And I'm excited to kind of see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I'm all for James Wan in horror or anything. The remakes of Stephen King kind of going on a pretty crazy trail here, I guess, of like horror remakes, but they're actually like bringing in like legit directors of horror to do it, or I guess just legit directors in general, because I guess the... the Watson brothers, the Russo brothers, aren't really horror, but them doing the Poltergeist thing, James Wan doing Salem's Lot.
Poltergeist a Stephen King book?
No, it's not. That's why I had to kind of retract. Oh, okay, I had to kind of retract that a little bit and say like just horror in general, not just Stephen King. But Salem's Lot. I'll be honest, I haven't seen the original. And I think that probably the downside to that one is that I just literally haven't heard anything about it. It doesn't get brought up a lot as like. Yeah. A classic. It doesn't get brought up as like a cult following. It doesn't get brought up a lot as sucking. It's just kind of there.
That's true, and that's why I'm kind of wondering if this is a good play in terms of a remake, because it doesn't have for us, it doesn't have a lot to compare to, and for other people, maybe it does. But a lot of people like James Wan, and I'm excited to see how they approach this. And what
they do. And I'm not a huge vampire guy. Personally, it takes one of those movies to be like really, really well done for me to like it. But I do like in general the shots that I've seen. It's that kind of that like Nosferatu feel to it, which I like. Mm-hmm. I like that authentic old school vampire. So that would be cool if he kept that in.
Yeah, I think a lot of vampire overdoes it. Like, there's pretty classic vampire movies that I like, and we could probably spend a whole podcast on it. But like, Dust Till Dawn. Interview is a pretty classic one that's seen. Then you have a lot of interesting ones, like What We Do in the Shadows and Fright Night and the sequel or the remake. And there's a lot of good vampire stuff out there. You just have to wade through a lot of crap.
Yeah, there was that one...
like, a lot of crap.
I can't remember 100% what it was called. I think it was called The Dark, but it was something like that. It was either The Dark or something...
The Dark is the one about the ghoul.
Is there not another one? I don't know. It's like Into the Dark, Fear of the Dark, I don't know, something like that. And I...
Don't be afraid of the dark?
Not that one.
No, I'm just kidding.
I remember, it wasn't, like, the perfect movie, but I remember thinking it was pretty cool. Because it was kind of... It felt like a mixture between, like, a feral and a goth... a gothic-style vampire. Where it, like... this guy just like digs it up while he's like digging in his farm and unleashes it on accident, like it was just buried in his backyard, and then it just starts killing everybody. And like I just remember it
sounds like
I remember them using they like really focus on the light as like a main weapon, so they put like any kind of light, so not just sunlight. Like, it doesn't like any kind of light. So, like, they're filling their house with stuff. They're trying to keep their generator running. They're trying to keep candles lit all the time. Like, it was just, like... And, like, it's just a husband and wife, if I remember correctly, that are trying to survive. And it was a pretty cool movie. I remember liking it. But, yeah, I like that style.
All right, so let's hop into This Week in TV. I'm going to make a new segment now, too. So, all I want to talk about this week
where's
TV
your intro music?
This Week in Television.
Thank you. That's better.
You're welcome. So I watched the new episode of Twilight Zone. It was pretty interesting, but it was another right on the nose one because it had to do with presidential elections and things that get out of hand. I'd say it's probably my least favorite overall because it just feels a lot like that Waldo episode of Black Mirror. And it doesn't. I mean, of course it's going to be relevant because it's of our president or the president. I guess it's not our president. Our president's probably cooler, the devil. But,
and CEO.
So, but anyway, it was on the nose. It wasn't my favorite, but it was worth watching. It's kind of interesting how it plays out in the end. And, yeah, not my favorite. I'd say, like, let's say 3 out of 5 spooky floating eyes.
Spooky floating eyes. Interesting choice.
Yeah. You'd get that joke if you watched it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. The one other show that I started watching that I thought was pretty cool was A Black Summer. So, in a series of, like, Canadian television that goes on to sci-fi, and I don't know if Black Summer actually went on to sci-fi, but Z Nation did, and being generally better than American television, Z Nation and Black Summer are some of the best zombie television shows you can ever watch. They're original, and if you compare the dates to when they came out versus what happened in The Walking Dead, you'll find that Z Nation was being way more original than Walking Dead was at the time. Now, Black Summer is a lot more, what I'd say, serious than Z Nation. Z Nation takes itself a little bit jokingly, but Black Summer is shot in the style of, like, kind of segments that all relate together. Like, every episode's kind of like a small version of Crash. And it's pretty interesting, like, the stuff and the situations they find themselves in. There's a whole episode with a group of people that are driving a car, and the shit that they have to get through when they're driving this car through, like, the zombie apocalypse, you know? And I'd say it's pretty good. I've only seen the first two or three episodes so far, but I'll talk about that again next week, because I'm thinking I'm probably going to watch some more of it.
Yeah, so, like, what would you say the biggest difference is between, because I haven't watched Z Nation before, like, what's the biggest difference between Z Nation and Walking Dead?
Z Nation, again, is a sci-fi show, so you kind of have to figure that out, too. It's serious, but it's not as serious as Walking Dead, so there's a little bit of levity in it. And it's, just the writing, in terms of, like, where the people find themselves and the things they have to do and the situations they're in, it's just more interesting than The Walking Dead. It's not as slow. Each episode is mostly self-contained. And when you go to the next episode, you're on a new part of the story instead of having one arc over, like, 50 different episodes, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like comparing Lost to, I don't know, Happy. I don't know.
Oh, jeez. Well, one of them's got imaginary friends. The other one's got Greek gods made of smoke.
Actually, I mean, it is kind of like that. Happy tells a really good story over one season. And is just as weird and goofy as Lost is, but Lost takes way too long to deliver anything. And I feel like Walking Dead does that too. Bad analogy turned good.
If you say so.
Well, I mean, like, I think it can work, but there's probably a better one, I just can't think of it. I mean,
that's fair.
In the end, the Walking Dead comic books are always going to be better than the show. And Z Nation was something original. In the very beginning of Z Nation, there's a guy who survived a zombie bite, and he becomes this, like, really important character as far as, like, the driving of the story, and then them getting him to where he needs to go to be researched and things like that. It's pretty cool. But, again, it doesn't take itself as seriously as Walking Dead, so don't expect it to be, like, super, I don't know,
primetime drama.
Grim, dark, you know? I guess that's the good way to describe it.
That was gritty.
Anyway, that's TV. That's This Week in TV. Did you see anything on TV this week?
Oh, boy. I don't think so. I still haven't finished up those Alien shorts yet from YouTube, which I need to. I've only been able to watch one of them so far, so the rest of them, I believe that tomorrow is like Alien Day or something. Everybody's just trying to have their own Star Wars Day. They're just making it up. I'm okay with it. I mean, it's just kind of funny. You're not letting me be cynical, man. I just gotta cynical this thing.
Oh, you're being cynical. You're just so cynical you don't realize you're doing it anymore.
They're releasing the remaining two tomorrow, and then the whole series. So I guess I can just binge it, because they're not that long anyways, and then I can give an update on that.
Binge it. What about this Alien 3 audio thing that you wrote in our notes?
I have so many thoughts on this. So Alien 3 audio drama is getting made.
Audio, it's like legit, like a book on tape kind of thing?
Yeah, like that kind of, I think a little bit more intense than a book on tape. I think more like, I'm hoping it's more along the lines of that one thing that you've listened to. It's about the zombies.
We're Alive?
Yes, that, yep.
Yeah, that show is legit good if you want a zombie show too. Yeah. Like, We're Alive is amazing and you should all listen to it.
So, like, I'm hoping it's more along the lines of that. But
I mean, most good stories nowadays aren't just people reading. I mean, some of them are, but a lot of the good podcasts and things like that are audio dramas, like Orson Welles-esque, not just them reading.
Yes, I think those are way better. They're way more immersive.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I really like, even though most of them are not horror, some of them are, but most of them aren't, but I really like the Truth podcast. Movies for Your Ears, those things are legit.
Yeah, the Darkest Depths, or the one off of Shudder, Darkest Night, is recorded on a 3D microphone, so you can, like, if you have surround sound, you can get a lot of really cool audio experience from that, too.
So we definitely recommend stuff like that. I'm really hoping that's what this is that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that that is the case, because it is based on the rejected screenplay for Alien 3.
You know what? I think I did see this, because I saw something about Alien 3 lately, and I was like, what, are they re-releasing it or something? And then I got confused and stopped remembering how to read. But
And so it's going to actually have Michael Biehn in it, playing his returning as his role of Corporal Hicks from Aliens. I'm sure that most people that are fans of Alien are in the know. Aliens, in Aliens, Corporal Hicks is one of the main characters that makes it through to the end, survives with Newt and Ripley, and in Alien 3, one of the biggest controversies and critiques of that movie is that it was a cheap shot where they just killed off Hicks and Newt so that they could just redo a different story. And while I really do like Alien 3, I get why people think that was a cheap shot, and if that movie were to come out today, I would have the same complaint. Like, there's just something about it being an older film that I didn't have that initial complaint when I first saw it, but I totally get it. It has merit. So the original script that was brought out involved the Corporal Hicks being the only one that's woken up at first, and Newt and Ripley are still alive, but they're still in cryo sleep, and it really focuses mostly on Michael Biehn's character, on Hicks. And he wakes up in a future, that's a future from their future, in which the Yutani Corporation, Weyland Yutani, is kind of in this Cold War with this communist company, cult organization thing, and they're like they're kind of just in this like battle of, you know, technology and between each other, and they find the ship, and it's a Weyland Yutani ship that they're on, this other team.
Is this the script, or is this what the podcast, the audio drama's
both,
about?
Both, because that's what it's based on. The audio drama is based on the script.
Oh, well, don't tell everybody.
Oh, I'm just giving a general breakdown. Like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. I'm just trying to give the synopsis, you know, pretending like this is the audio trailer for the audio drama. I'm just kind of setting it up, but it...
All right, well, you have 50 seconds to wrap it up before we complain about a bunch
seconds.
Of other movies.
We have more movies to complain about? Okay.
But
yeah, like, it's just kind of like based around his character, which I think was severely lacking in Alien 3, and he would have been fine to keep in. But I don't know. It seems to be what I thought was funny, which I guess I am going to ruin some of it now, but whatever, was that they used...
to the thing that hasn't come out yet.
They used a lot of elements of this guy's script in Alien Resurrection, and then used even more elements of it, or additional elements of it, in Prometheus, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, somebody owes this guy lots of money.
It's not like, you know, like direct story elements. It's like parts of experiences or scares, right?
What? I'm sorry, say that again?
Like, it's not like story elements, it's like situations that they get in. Because, like, you could never break up a story that way. Like, could you? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, to have a single script spread over three different movies.
I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just elements of it. So, like, it's just mainly around, like, how this guy was wanting to, like, develop how Yutani would treat an alien if they got one. And then also, the anatomy of how they've progressed. As in, like, how Prometheus kind of kicks that off. So it's more so that side of it. It's just kind of funny that this guy, like, really figured that out. Or, like, figured this out, like, way ahead of time, and then they ended up using elements of it, regardless of whether or not how controversial people thought those things were, particularly in Prometheus. This guy thought of it a long time ago, and it got thrown away.
All right. Well, let's ring match real quick on La Llorona, since we have, like, 4 minutes left. I think I didn't like it as much as, you know, Sickle did, which is interesting, because we've had, like, this diametrically opposed view on, like, the last, like, 8 movies we've seen, which makes for interesting podcasting, but it also makes us very sad.
It does, because we used to be all the same on everything.
I think used to be is a misnomer, too, because we said the same shit about, you know, Autopsy of Jane Doe. There's always, like, a bunch of movies we disagree on, but the ones we really agree on are the ones we really like the most, I think.
That's true.
Like, The Thing.
Yes.
And stuff it's like true. That. So, but, so, La Llorona, I think that it had some really cool, like, I was definitely feeling a little tense in it. Not as tense as I felt watching Pet Sematary, but that's, again, just because of my personal experience. Now, I definitely see how that doesn't translate to everyone. I think La Llorona is more of a, like, universally scary movie because there's lots of really good jump scares and lots of creepy scenes. And surprisingly, you see a lot of the ghosts in this one, which I really liked.
So wait, what didn't you like about it?
I just didn't think it was as scary as some of the other stuff I've seen. I haven't really gotten into what I didn't like yet. I was just talking about scares.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with most of that. I think that, I don't know, man. It's really hard to find a good, like, legitimately scary movie for us. It gets increasingly harder. And
dude, Witch in the Window, it's scenes. It's not a whole movie. It's just scenes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it totally pulls that off. This one... for me, the only scene that really I thought was really well done was the car scene, which was actually the first tease of the movie.
Oh yeah, that was really creepy.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that, but it was also the first tease of before the movie came out.
I didn't see it.
So when I saw it, I was like, oh, this was really well done. And even though I'd already seen it, I was like, man, they made this really intense. But
you just need to stop watching trailers.
I can't help it. I'm obsessed. But it ended up being, like, kind of the best scene in the movie. And it was pretty early on. So, I don't know. I kind of feel you, like, it's just that certain scenes, there's this one in particular where these two boys are being haunted by La Llorona, and, one of them starts, like, wandering the halls, and the other one's following him, and there's just a part of me that's just like, this is a trope that we've seen 100 times. Like, we don't need to see this again, like, come up with something different.
Yeah, but we can get into that, talking about that, because it just goes down to who's watching it, right? I mean, if you care about that stuff and you care to, like, you just think that it's going to happen, or you just turn off, right? But I do kind of agree that, like, I mean, this is the same kind of, like, horror machine crank stuff that they pull out of, that they push out, like, every year. I felt like at the end of the movie, I was like, okay, that wasn't too bad, but, like, this is the kind of, like, this year's, or this month's, or this quarter's, like, horror fair, you know? This is the one that everybody goes to pay to see. But I did like that it was rated R instead of PG-13.
Yeah, which is a common theme with James Wan's universe. I don't think very many of them have been PG-13. I think the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Insidious. The first one was PG-13, but most of them have been R, and that one was legit. That one was way scarier than La Llorona was. That's a common theme with his movies, with this series franchise. I'm all for that too. Like, even if it's just a kind of a ploy to say, like, it's gonna be super scary, there's not any violence, it's just so scary, we had to make it R. It's like, okay, that's fine, I'm fine.
That's
with
fine.
That.
Yeah.
And
there's a reason someone rated it R.
Yeah, just
cool
slap
that
label on it, right. And I'm good to go.
The last part I think we both really liked about that movie was they kind of like recognized that this priest Christian style figure wasn't like, sorry, the Christianity is still there, but the priest isn't the only way to do religion in a movie. And they introduced a Mexican shaman character that's a curandero named Rafael, or however you want to say it. And I thought that was a really cool stray away from like the norm.
Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of like this like rogue priest approach. And it kind of covers a common theme in today's, or like, you know, in American culture and also like British culture, in the sense that like it's not that there's kind of a pretty strong movement of like spiritualism and agnosticism, but not a strong approach to like religion, and I feel like he kind of embodied that in some fashion. It's like he's more against the corporate angle of the church than he is against his faith.
And they have a lot of movies like that, but not all of them really succeed at it. There's that one with, is it Thomas Jane, or maybe it's Aaron Eckhart, who's in a wheelchair and he does the exorcism.
Aaron Eckhart, yeah.
Which, where like you feel like the wheelchair is just in there because they're trying to like Kate pander to somebody, but it's still like a decent kind of twist on a normal kind of film.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There's, they do it, and the ones that do it well do a really good job.
Yeah.
Of kind of mixing that like holistic, kind of more physical religion, like the shamanism instead of just the priesthood, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because like when you get into like priesthood, it's like holy water and crosses and that's like it. But when you like venture out into some of like the adjacent religions, you get a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it's still like crosses and stuff, but it's not like the traditional.
And it was cool that there was like kind of one of the points to this was there was like specific occult items that only worked, like reliquaries that only worked on this particular ghost because of the way that its curse came about. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, I like that stuff when there's reasoning behind why this works instead of it just like, it's like, no, just because this is a thing that was, it's holy, so it works. And like, there was a little bit of that, but I liked that the main weapon against it was it's like the wood of the trees that witnessed her murders and stuff like that. I just thought that was cool.
And to be fair, and this is the last thing I'll say, is it gets into it pretty quick, so you don't have to sit around and wait. It's not, like, boring and kind of, you know, predictable. It's mostly just
practical. That's true. Yeah, they did keep the pacing up pretty good.
And they kind of, like, there's a decent amount I liked about it. I just didn't think it was, like, it's probably not going to be on my top 10 this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. Well, we went a little long, but thanks for listening. I think next time we're going to have a really good episode because we're going to talk about being jaded and things that we got disappointed from by hype, and that is going to be a really interesting episode,
yeah,
I think.
And just because the popularity is out of control, I'm going to talk Ifrit into us bringing up Avengers a little bit, just for the heck of it, because it's a big deal. It's a big event. It's been 20 years in the making.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, even though it's not horror, we still
watch
that.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right, well, like, comment, subscribe, tell us what you like and you don't like, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.